This is episode 175 on September 1st, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And it is 2016. It's not 2015. How are you doing, Matt?
I am fantastic, Joe. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm sort of refreshed and stressed all at the same time, but that has to do with work and vacation. What you been up to?
Well, I haven't been getting to refresh as much as you have, but I don't know. Did manage to get out for a quick little camping trip this past weekend.
Nice.
Kind of cut it short because it's still stupidly hot out. But it was mostly fun. And I don't know. Just still editing old, like kind of old pictures, and trying to find time to get out and take more new pictures. And really excited about all the new app updates and things that are going to happen in the next week here. So yeah, just trying to stay focused, I guess.
Nice. Yeah. We have a great show ahead of us. We had a few things happen that we're eager to talk about. We didn't have a show last week, but that's all right. You know, things came up for Matt and Mark, and they had pressing things that required some time. And I was at the beach, and so, you know, I didn't. I guess I could have done a show, but no, my wife would have shot me down on that. But I had a good time. We went to the Outer Banks and of North Carolina. And up near Corolla. And this was our second time going there, and we had a great time. I relaxed, went out on the beach. The kids and I got tanned a little bit, not on purpose, but just the fact that we were out playing in the water and on the sand. I noticed my kids were a little darker than normal, and was able to take some pictures of them on the beach. I did forget my waterproof case, but I was careful. And one of our trips while we were there, we went to an aquarium over on Roanoke Island. And
wow.
That was fun. The kids had fun with that. And another day we went to Kitty Hawk, to the Wright Brother Museum and National Park. And that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. It was a very good presentation by the park ranger. He kept everybody pretty much engaged in the history and what they did while they were there. And we walked up to the monument, the hill that's called Kill Devil Hill, and got to see that. That was really nice. The weather was perfect. What's that?
Did you guys visit the sand dunes there?
The sand dunes meaning
the big hills of sand.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the house we stayed in was right there at the beach, and we had a sand dune in between us and the beach. But it may not be the same sand dunes.
Yeah. Well, I understand they change, but down there in that Kitty Hawk area, pretty sure it's down in that area, there's or maybe down in Nag's Head or something, there's some really big like really big sand dunes that supposedly the Wright brothers had, you know, kind of used those to try to like launch their aircraft or whatever.
Yes.
And I remember, as a kid, like being down there and just like being on top of the sand dunes and running to the edge and then jumping and like literally just like falling like 20 feet down the sand dune before you hit sand and then, you know, kind of tumble down. And they're very impressive, really fun sand dunes.
Yeah. So one of the things about the Wright brothers that I was very intrigued with had to do with photography. This is a great kind of tie-in. There's a very famous photograph of the Wright brothers and the first flight. And it's actually the photograph that almost didn't happen. And the story goes that the Wright brothers had contacted the Coast Guard and said, hey, we're going to be trying to do this. You know, would it be possible to have somebody there to kind of help? And if something happened, be there to help us. And they said, sure. So a couple guys went, and one of them, his job was to take the picture of the very first flight. And when the Wright brothers took off, they only flew probably about 100 feet and then landed on the ground. And they went over to him and they said, did you get the picture? And he's like, no, I didn't. The shutter was a ball that he had to squeeze. That's all he had to do. That was his first time ever seeing a camera. He wasn't a photographer. He had never seen a camera before, and his only job was to squeeze the ball when the flight took off. And it happened that in the excitement of the moment, he squeezed the ball and caught that image. And it is a beautiful image. Even if you had planned that image, I don't think they would have gotten the image that that he got. And if you look at it, it looks, you can Google it right now and look up Wright Brothers first flight, and all you see is this barren landscape. But if you go there today, it is green, lush with trees. What happened in the 30s was they built these sand dunes, just like Matt said, which helped to keep the water from going over the outer banks. And so it kept the water at bay. And then they planted trees, which helped to kind of keep the wind down. And then this lush vegetation started to grow. So from them launching off the dunes and that whole area and the photography, we had a wonderful time. And I highly recommend, if you ever go to North Carolina, if you ever go to the Outer Banks, go to Kitty Hawk.
Yeah, I remember it being a very awesome place. Even as a kid, it was really cool.
Yeah. So imagine being the guy that took that picture.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you got to wonder, like, you know, especially in today's day and age, like what kind of thing could happen in our lifetime that would be as profound as the start of like flight. Manned flight?
Yeah, exactly. The other thing about that was the guy who took that photograph was also the very first, his other claim to fame was that he was the very first person to survive a plane crash because after their longest flight, They were standing near the airplane, and a gust of wind picked it up and threw it. And he tried to hold on, and they actually thought he died, but he actually survived it. And you know, so he claimed that his claim to fame was the very first photograph of flight, and then also surviving the first plane crash. Imagine having that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That guy's name is John T. Daniels.
Yes.
And you could read all about it on Wikipedia.
Yep. Isn't that a beautiful image?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Ah. So, all right. Today, we are going to talk about a couple subjects. The first one is going to be about Steve Jobs. And since this is a Apple, iPhone, you know, type photography podcast, this is kind of fitting. So let us go right into the news.
News team, assemble!
All right. So Matt had alerted me to the TWIP podcast that happened, and they talked about Steve Jobs being inducted into the Photography Hall of Fame. And you have to say, what? How could he be inducted into the Photography Hall of Fame? Well, if it wasn't for Steve Jobs, we wouldn't be having this podcast right now. So I think it's very fitting that he be inducted into the Photography Hall of Fame because of the Tiny Shutter podcast. I'm just kidding. but we thought it would be a good idea to kind of talk about it. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit more about that?
All right. Well, the reason I texted you earlier today about this is I was listening to that podcast that you mentioned, and they were kind of playing devil's advocate with the whole thing. But I think it was kind of some of the guests that were on the show were their seriousness, I guess, just kind of kind of turned me off a little bit. And so, you know, basically what it is, it's the International Photography Hall of Fame. And I think it's later next month they're going to be doing their induction ceremony. And, you know, there's a whole list of new inductees or whatever. And one of the names that stands out is Steve Jobs, because, you know, he wasn't a photographer, wasn't really like an artist per se. And so on that other podcast, they were just kind of like, you know, do you think that he deserves to be inducted into the Photography Hall of Fame? And I think most people would say, well, yeah, you know, he gave us the iPhone, and, you know, that's really created such a like a new wave of interest in photography. I mean, yeah. And, you know, so I was kind of looking at the International Photography Hall of Fame's website. And, I just want to tell you what their mission statement here is: to educate the public about photographic history, collect, exhibit, and preserve historical items and images, and honor significant contributors to the evolution of the art and science of photographic imaging. So, like that mission is really inclusive. You know, it's not just saying only photographers. You know, like for instance, I think two of the guys that are also going to be inducted this year, forgive me, I don't remember their names, but they're the two guys that wrote probably a majority of the code for Photoshop.
Oh, wow.
You know, that is a significant contribution to photography. You know,
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
You know, it's not necessarily the art of photography, but you know, it has a lasting place in photography, and it's really changed, you know, the way we go about producing the final image, you know, that we show the world. And it's really just been such a pivotal thing that it's really become more of a verb or an adjective than a noun.
Yeah.
You know, did you Photoshop that? You know, is that Photoshopped? People actually mean, yeah, you know, it's like sometimes people don't even mean photo. They don't even mean, did you use Photoshop? They mean, is that edited?
Yeah.
You know, and photos. So, you know, so that is definitely a significant thing. Well, I mean, in that other podcast, they were talking about, well, you know, did Steve Jobs really invent the iPhone, or did like a team of other people at Apple invent the iPhone? And did Steve Jobs just kind of sign off on it and write the checks or whatever to make it a reality? And
yeah.
I have no idea, to tell you the truth. I really don't know. But when it comes right down to it, when we think of who brought the world the iPhone, Steve Jobs did.
Well, let's take this for an example. So say I was on the developing team and I came up with all these great things for the iPhone. Do people really want to think of Joseph Ferreira as being, you know, somebody who, you know, made the iPhone take off? Or are they going to think, no, Steve Jobs? You know, they don't care who,
you know. Well, I'll tell you that. I mean, when you throw the example out there like that, it's obvious that people would pick Steve Jobs because it's much easier to say his name.
Yes. No, I understand what they were saying, and you know that I would think the same thing would go with George Eastman, you know, Kodak. You know, he was one of the founders of Kodak, and you know, yeah, did he have a team of people that were helping to innovate the camera to be able to make it easier for the public to take a picture? Sure. But nobody cares about the engineers who were involved. When you think of Kodak, you think of George Eastman. So same thing with iPhone. Nobody says any other names except for, you know, maybe Johnny Ives, but, you know, Steve Jobs was the one that was out there holding it, showing everybody for the first time. And
yeah, definitely.
And so when we think of iPhone, we think of Steve Jobs. So the iPhone is almost like the second go around of Kodak. You know, this is very Kodak-ish, meaning Kodak meant to put a camera in everyone's hands. All it was a little black box with a shutter. That was it. And that revolutionized photography in the 20th century. Whereas the iPhone was the innovation for the 21st century. Were there other cameras prior to Kodak? Absolutely. Were there other smartphones prior to the iPhone? Absolutely. But none of those other cameras, none of those other smartphones are the name that you say when you say, oh, we're going to do iPhoneography, you know.
Yeah, totally agree.
So the fact that not only does the iPhone kind of the iPad and all that have almost the generic name that people will throw out there because it's so iconic, I think that's a testament too to Steve Jobs and his vision that he had and how it has influenced photography.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, the other thing that was kind of getting me too was it kind of turned on to like that whole discussion on the other podcast turned into kind of ragging on like Instagram.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
you know, like the iPhone brought us Instagram and is Instagram like really photography? And
yes,
I just thought that that was a completely ridiculous question because Instagram is really just a platform to share photos. And, you know, what, you know, we've had this discussion before. What you see on Instagram is completely dependent on what you choose to look at, you know, absolutely. Who you choose to follow. And I know that when I scroll through Instagram, I mean, I see some really talented photographers, you know, I follow a lot of really cool accounts that showcase a lot of really awesome pictures. And there's definitely a lot of talented photographers out there. And, you know, I think what it is the iPhone made photography more accessible. And yeah. I think it made people who might not have discovered that they were talented at photography, it gave them a chance to discover that.
Absolutely. And
not all of those people are shooting now exclusively with the iPhone. A lot of them probably started with the iPhone and now they probably still take pictures with the iPhone, but they've also moved on to other cameras, DSLRs and mirrorless cameras and stuff like that. But the iPhone was the launching point for many, many photographers today. And
yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of people through Instagram kind of discovered that, like, hey, I can do this. You know, I'm actually not that bad at this.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm wondering how many more years will go by before this Photography Hall of Fame is inducting Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, the founders of Instagram.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And you know what? Even Facebook, you know, Facebook, I think, has more images than probably most or if not all of the other, besides Instagram, social media platforms together, combined, I would venture to guess. I would really love to know how many images Facebook has in its servers. It has to be an insane amount. And like what they mentioned in the other podcast, when you go to Flickr, the number one camera is the iPhone. It has become the thing that people use the most. I use my iPhone more than I use my Canon. And the reason being is that it fits in my pocket. It's easy to use. It's easy to edit with. It's easy to post from. You know, whereas my big camera shoots great images. I have, you know, I absolutely love it. But it doesn't do all those other things that help to get my images out for people to see. You know, I have to take it to a computer. The other people that are being introduced into the Hall of Fame are people Ken Burns, Ernst Haas.
That boggles my mind that Ken Burns isn't already in it.
I know. Well, okay, so Ken Burns, Ernst Haas, Steve Jobs, John Knoll, Thomas Knoll, Annie Leibovitz, Graham Nash, and Sebastio Salgado.
Yeah, Graham Nash was a surprise as well. I didn't know that he was a photographer and a printer.
Yeah. You know, one of these days they'll announce Matt Hoffman as a Hall of Famer, you know.
I'll get the some sort of like slacker award or something.
We'll have to say Joe predicted it in episode 175. And now this was I truly think they made the right decision in inducting Steve Jobs, because
I think it's very, very appropriate.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, maybe the other podcasts, maybe those guys were just saying what they were saying just to have a conversation about it. Because honestly, it's like, it's so obvious. I mean, how could you debate it? But when I was listening to it this morning, I was like, these guys are a bunch of jokers.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, listen to this so your eyes explode.
Yeah. My eyes were rolling back in my head so many times I thought I was going to need eye surgery. All right. Yeah, okay. So in the chat, Greg says that photos uploaded on Facebook are approximately 300 million per day. That's insane. And most of those will never see the light of day.
Yeah. Well, Greg's homework is to figure out what percentage of those are his.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So cool. That was, you know, thanks for bringing that up to, and bringing that to our attention. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see what the iPhone is doing for photography, and so many different things, you know, which is, this is a good transition, but so many good things are happening to the iPhone that is changing my workflow, changing my view of photography, that I'm more and more excited about photography with the iPhone than I thought I would be.
Cool. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So
you should be excited about it, especially if you're doing this podcast.
Yes. So having said that, we had an update that happened this week, and Snapseed has released the update with raw editing capability. And we had been talking about that for, gosh, a couple of years now. And it's hard to believe that it's here. It was almost like when we were wanting to have manual control of our cameras. And, you know, when it came, it was like, yeah, this is great, this is great. And then it kind of fell off. But I am actually going to say something later on that I thought I would never say. And I'm wondering if you would guess what that is. But first, let's talk about it. So, let's see here. Let me pull up. I want to pull up the update because I just want to quickly read what it says so that we can have sort of a good idea of what has happened. All right.
It says, warning, this update's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Right off the bat, it says new face tool. There's a new thing that came out that I am testing out and I want to talk about probably later, but it's a way of taking some flaws away, which I'm kind of controversial about. RAW for iOS, full native non-destructive RAW support for 144 camera models. Brighten up shadows, recover lost highlights, add structure and detail to the original RAW data. Apply fine white balance adjustments in the native RAW data and more. And then it says you can also set preferred JPEG compression rate, even save lossless PNG when exporting, UI adjustments, and bug fixes. Our team has worked many years to profile 144 camera models so that Snapseed will read full sensor data from the RAW file. Now, changing with exposure in the RAW file in Snapseed has a comparable effect to adjusting the settings within the camera's electronics. The high resolution, full dynamic range data from the CCD or CMOS chip can now be tweaked.
So, I had posted, looking back at it now, a really stupid post earlier today about this update. Uh-huh. Stupid in that at the time I had no clue what I was talking about. but in the comments, there's a point where I posted a screenshot of a raw picture in the new like raw editor part of Snapseed. Yeah. And then under that, myself and Rick Savitsky, we kind of just have like a discussion. He was having some issue with one of his cameras not being able to get the pictures in or whatever. In any case, in there, I posted a link to the list of cameras.
Yeah.
So I think what I'll do is I'll post that again just in our Facebook page to make it easier to find.
Yes, and it'll be in the show notes too.
Yeah, it's quite a list. 144 cameras, if you think about it. That's a lot of cameras.
They even kept my 30D. Like, woohoo!
Yeah, that's kind of amazing.
I know. I was just talking to my wife today and said, honey, can I please upgrade my camera? And so we're looking at me upgrading to a 6D. And,
cool.
Yeah, it's a full frame and it has the Wi-Fi capability built in. So,
ooh, fancy.
Yeah. Yes. So, real quick, I have a workflow that I want to discuss, but I wanted to hear your workflow of how you got your first raw image onto Snapseed.
All right. So let me just back up here for a second. So when I saw this update, I think it was yesterday, I was like, oh, a face tool. That's pretty cool. That might come in handy. And, oh, it could edit raw. That's cool. It must be something to do with the upcoming iOS 10 or the new phones or something. I really didn't even like blink at it. I just was like, yeah, whatever. Cool update. Right. And so then I saw, on Petapixel today, you know, they had a little article or whatever about it, and I read it and I was like, you know, this is really implying that you can do this now, like right now, right? Yeah. And I thought, but how? Like, how can you do that? You can't put raw files on your iPhone now. And I don't know why I thought that. And it has to do with, I think, a discussion that I think we were having it on the show, like a handful of episodes, and I'm not throwing Mark under the bus here, but Mark was on the show and we were talking about this, and I could have swore that he said, because we were talking about me putting photos from my Sony, my NEX7 onto my phone.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, you might be shooting in RAW on your Sony, but when you're putting the SD card into your little adapter thing and getting transferring those over to your phone, it's not actually transferring raw. It's, you know, it's probably a JPEG. And I was just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, I thinking back on it now, I should have realized, that, well, I don't know. I had some apps that could work with the images and some apps that couldn't. Right. So
if it was a JPEG, it would have worked with all of them.
Yeah, I know. Well, yes, but this is the first app that we're hearing about that has the difference, I guess, is that this has a raw editor. I mean, I was always able to open these images in Nlight, but Nlight is not it's just an editing app. And the difference is this Snapseed now is kind of like Photoshop. If you open a raw file in Photoshop, the first thing that pops up is Camera Raw. And that's like a little sub program within Photoshop where you can make all these they're like basic adjustments, but they work with the raw file, like for contrast and lights and darks and blacks and whites and, you know, all that kind of stuff before you like get into Photoshop to do like other things that you might do. So, in any case, like we kind of started having a discussion about this on the Facebook group today. And I thought, you know what? I really haven't looked into this. Maybe I'm an idiot because, you know, here I am posting that, you know, hey, this is pretty cool that Snapseed can edit RAW, but you can't get RAW pictures on your iPhone. So I thought, you know, I better check because I have a feeling that that's what I posted is probably not accurate. So I went into the EXIF data of some photos that I knew I shot in RAW and had transferred over to my phone. And lo and behold, it said the file format was the RAW file format. And I was like, huh, all right, well, let's fire up Snapseed and see what happens. And so I did that. And the first thing that happens is you get this little screen that pops up the very first time. And it says, hey, there's a RAW editor now. And you just go, okay, yeah, cool. Let's get to this. And then you're in this mode that's called develop. And it really doesn't look any different than the regular, than Snapseed, how it always looks, except you just have these different options of things to adjust. And then once you make those adjustments, you click your little check mark to say, yep, that's what I want to do. And then you're in regular Snapseed mode where you can get into all your crazy filters, you know, your vintage and drama and HDR and all that fun stuff. So that was very enlightening today. I had no idea that I was putting RAW files onto my iPhone, and it's frankly quite embarrassing that I didn't know that. But to answer your question from like 20 minutes ago about my workflow, so I'm doing it where I have the little Apple SD card to Lightning adapter.
Yes.
So, you know, basically I just take the SD card out of my camera and put it in the little
dongle.
You know, it's just a little like SD card reader, and it plugs right into the Lightning port on the iPhone. And when you plug it in, you get like an import screen that kind of opens up in the Photos app, and it opens like automatically, and it shows you all the pictures that are on the SD card, and you could hit to select them all if you want, or you could just tap on whichever individual pictures you want to import, and then you just tell it you want to import them, and it throws them into your camera roll.
Nice. Even the RAW files?
Even the RAW files.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I got the one that I edited today. That's what I did to get it on my phone. So
okay,
obviously that works. So it's funny too, because we've had this discussion on other podcasts about like RAW versus JPEG and all that kind of stuff. And I primarily shoot RAW, you know, for like, and we've had the discussions as to why, but you know, I take a lot of landscapes. I want all the detail that I could get in a file, so I shoot RAW most of the time. Lately I've been having computer issues, as everyone is very well aware of by now. And I haven't really been doing a whole lot of editing on my computer because it's really just a nightmare to work with now. And so I've been putting a majority of my pictures from like my Sony camera onto my iPhone to edit. I don't know. It was like a couple months ago now. I thought, you know, if I'm going to do that, I don't really need to be shooting raw because what's the point?
Right.
So I switched it to like fine quality JPEG, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm switching back to raw now. I'm like so excited.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I really hope I can get out now. I want to shoot like so bad. And it's just really cool now to be able to edit raw files on and now Snapseed's like going to be my favorite editing app again.
Yes. Okay. So let me piggyback on what you just said there, because for me, I've always been JPEG. And I, when I first got my Canon, you know, I was listening to podcasts. Oh, you need to be shooting raw. You need to shoot raw. You know, don't shoot in JPEG, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I'm going to shoot in raw. And I found, and I've mentioned this before, that I was shooting in raw and then converting to a JPEG. The issue I was having was storage was kind of, for me, for a long time, kind of finite. There was only so much storage that I could have on my computer. And I found that the raw images were taking up storage and doing nothing after I had converted them. And I don't want to delete raw. It's not something that you want to do. You don't want to really delete images because, you know, just some people are good at it, at doing that. Others like me, it's almost like, you know, sacrilege. You don't want to delete an image. So I decided then and there that my final product is going to be a JPEG. I'm going to do everything that I can to make it as close to the finished product as possible. And if I have to edit, it's going to be fine editing and there's not going to be a whole lot to it. And as the years went on, I found that, especially the Snapseed, that I was able to extract information that people said, oh, when you have a JPEG, it's compressed, you're not going to have it. I was able to extract that information and create an image that I had seen in my mind's eye prior to taking the shot. And I said, why do I need to shoot raw? I have no need to. And I even shot a wedding in JPEG, the only wedding that I shot. I did not shoot it in raw. And so when we got the news yesterday that Snapseed had raw editing capabilities, I said, okay, I'll give it a try. So I decided to go back to 2011, the last time I shot raw, and see if I can find some images that I'd want to edit on the iPhone. Well, apparently in 2011, I went through a black and white phase. And it wasn't helping. I couldn't find a image that I wanted to edit because 90% of them were black and white. So I said, all right, I'm going to grab my camera. I'm going to, you know, play with the kids a little bit and I'm going to take some pictures. So I set it to raw. I put my nifty 50 on and had the girls, one of them screaming at me because she wanted to hold it. That's my 1 year old. And then the 2 year old was there totally grinning and cheesing for the camera. So I got her and I took a picture and I said, all right, I have what I think might be a good workflow to get these images on there. I don't have a dongle. I don't have the lightning connector for SD card. And my camera right now only takes the, what's the bigger one called?
Compact flash.
Yes. The CF cards. And so I was like, all right, I have this app that I've been using for everything else. I'm going to give it a try. The app is called AirDisc Pro. And I was able to transfer the images from my phone to my not my phone, from my camera to my computer. And from there, I can, if as long as my phone and the computer I want to interact with are on the same Wi-Fi, I use an IP address to have IP address for with a browser to show the contents of that app. So I was able to drag and drop onto the browser, and it automatically uploaded it to my phone through the Wi-Fi. And from there, I was able to open up the raw file in Snapseed. And I was like, this is awesome. And so
that
I
is
took,
awesome.
So I took and I edited the photo. I had on my camera set to auto white balance, and it came out really orange. I think I have compact, what is it? The CF, the lights, they're compact. What are they called? Fluorescence. And so it gave a really orange tone to it. But when I took the raw editor and I dragged it to her cheek, I was able to use her skin as a white balance, as a way to sort of correct the white balance. And it looks great. I got really excited. And this is the thing that I thought I'd never say in years or in a million years. I actually want to shoot in RAW now.
Cool.
Reason being is that my workflow has now gone from sitting at a computer to now editing on my phone. I hardly ever edit on a computer. The last week I took family photos of my sister-in-law's family with her in-laws. And after I took the pictures, I uploaded the JPEGs from my camera onto my phone and sat there and edited in Snapseed. And, you know, I start off by, okay, getting rid of duplicates, getting rid of the ones with flaws, and narrowing it down to a few that they're going to enjoy. And then I sit there in Snapseed and I edit. If I have a bunch of images that have the same lighting, same everything, I copy the edits that I did from the first image and apply them to the next ones and so forth. And I save them. I modify them. I have now the capability of using the full force of that camera with RAW on my iPhone. And now I want to shoot in RAW. And I thought I'd never say that until now. So I'm kind of shocking myself. What I'll do is... go ahead.
I'm extremely excited about this.
Yeah. This has been an awesome update. And... you know, as nice it was to talk about Steve Jobs and everything and that, I was like, I text Matt. I'm like, Matt, this Snapseed RAW thing is going to be awesome. And when I got home, I grabbed one of the first things to do after, you know, eating my dinner and showering is I went and grabbed my camera and said, all right, I got to do this. I have to do this. I want to see how it works. And when I saw it, I was thrilled. I have to say, it's probably going to want, I'm going to want to carry my camera more with me and be able to do more with it. Does that mean I'm going to stop taking pictures with my iPhone? No, I'll take more pictures with my iPhone than I will with my DSLR. But just knowing the fact that I can edit on my phone like I want to do and not be tied to a computer, is awesome. And going back to saying, you know, I want to upgrade to the 6D Canon. It's full frame. It has the Wi-Fi capabilities. I think I can be able to utilize that Wi-Fi capability to take the images straight off of the camera onto my phone.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's exciting. I want to hear what you guys have to say about your workflow. Everybody's going to have a different workflow. I'm going to, you know, have links to the app that I use, because unless you want to carry something like what Matt has, if you have the capability to use SD cards and hook it straight up to the camera, which is really simple and really easy. If you don't have that, this is another alternative. And I think I'm going to do a post on how to get the images from the camera onto the iPhone using this app. And I will have that posted on the website. I'm going to do that this weekend.
Oh, cool.
So, all right, let's see here. Let's see what the chat room's been talking about. Greg says there's an app called Photo Raw for iOS that came out in 2014 that had the capabilities to develop raw files. It came out when iOS 8 was our operating system. Most of the apps update since its inception have more and more camera support. Yeah, that's one thing. He says that's a $10 app. That's the thing. I believe there were more raw editors out there. The only problem was they didn't have every single camera the raw engine of every single camera to be able to work with. So you were sometimes limited to certain makes and models based on popularity, most likely Nikon and Canon. And when you have Google as your, sort of parent company, you have a lot of resources to be able to find out what cameras people are using, what cameras used to exist, what cameras still exist, what cameras may be coming into play in the future, and adding those to the updates or releasing them with the initial update. And that, I think, most, if not all, of those other apps don't have those capabilities. So I'm really glad that Google bought Snapseed.
So, yeah, about that. So I was wondering about this earlier, not to drag this discussion out too much longer here, but I wonder what Google's doing here. Because, they bought Nick Software, who produced Snapseed. And, of course, when that happened, everybody said, oh, no, everything's going to go away. They're going to shut it all down. They didn't really do anything for a while. But the first thing they did was they made Snapseed free. It was $4.99, and then it was, they made it free. And then just recently, however many months ago it was, they announced that the entire Nick collection of plugins, like for Photoshop, which cost, I forget, like a couple hundred bucks, I think.
Yeah, if you they were made to, those free.
Yeah, they made those free, and then that got everyone saying, "Okay, well, this is it." If they made that free, they're just going to let people download all this stuff for a finite amount of time, and then they're gonna axe it and shut it all down, and then we're not going to have it anymore. And then you get an update to Snapseed like this. That it's like, this is a major thing, Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering where Google's going with all this and what's going to happen next.
I wonder if they're trying to, throw a monkey wrench into Photoshop and Lightroom. Maybe their aims are at Adobe.
Well, that would be interesting. But they would. I think they are going to need something more than Snapseed, though.
Yeah.
To do that.
Well,
okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. Snapseed's a great app. It really is. But it's not Photoshop.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. It's just, there's a lot of people like me that don't have Photoshop or Lightroom.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, really and honestly, in order to, you know, to throw a monkey wrench, into Adobe's sales or whatever of Photoshop, you're going to need a Photoshop competitor, I think.
Right. No, and you're right. I tell you what, I like where they're going. So, like I said, the words are kind of like tripping me out a little bit. I want to shoot in RAW and be able to take my photography, you know, mobile and not have to depend on a computer. That means, you know, I don't use Photoshop. I never used Photoshop. I've looked at it once, never had the need for it. I mean, I had Adobe Illustrator, and I would do changes and do things to my images in Illustrator, but that's kind of like, that's like taking a water cannon and filling it up with nails and trying to use it, you know, against a battleship. You know, could you shoot a battleship with a water cannon? Sure. Is it going to do anything? Probably not. but, you know, for me, it worked. And, you know, everybody's like, well, why would you use that? Why wouldn't you just get Photoshop? And I'm like, I'm not paying for Photoshop. That's expensive. And I wouldn't use it as often to justify the cost. So I found alternatives. And Snapseed happened to be one of those alternatives that worked for me. And I enjoy having the images that I need to edit on this phone and taking it wherever I go. If I want to edit on the road somewhere or do whatever, I can do it. I don't have to have a computer. I don't need to have a bigger screen with a tablet. I can do it all from my phone because my eyes still work. But, you know, eventually that'll change and I will need to go to a bigger screen. But for right now, if I can do everything with my phone, I'm a happy camper.
Well, when you need to go to a bigger screen, you could just go to an iPad Pro and continue to use Snapseed.
That's right. Well, cool. That's an awesome update. Let us know what you guys use. If you have alternatives, anything that is easier to upload RAW files to your phone, let us know, and do so by going to Facebook. If you haven't joined our Facebook group, you're missing out. There's a lot of stuff that happens in there that, quite honestly, it's hard to keep up with, but at the same time, it's awesome to see because a lot of you guys are engaged. You're getting to know each other. You're seeing each other's work. You're having discussions. You're learning new things. It's awesome, and I highly recommend it. So, all right. Anything else that you wanted to bring up about the subjects we just talked about?
No, but I had one other little update thing I wanted to just mention real quick.
Sure.
Nowhere near as exciting as being able to edit RAW, but Instagram had an update the other day.
Oh, yes. I forgot.
And the big thing in that update was that you can now pinch to zoom.
Yes.
On photos in Instagram. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are like, yeah, whatever, big deal. For some reason, this excites me to no end.
Yes.
You don't even know how many times I have tried
Yes.
To like zoom into a photo to like see a detail better or whatever. It's and you just couldn't memory. Do it. You could not do it. And now you can, and it is delightful.
One of the things when I want to show people some images, like I don't keep images on my phone very long. If they get up on Instagram, then I can show people. But a lot of times what they'll do is they'll go, oh, that's cool. And they'll try to zoom in on it and they can't. Now they can. And so I'm excited about it. I did notice that it's almost elasticy. So if you let go, it goes back to normal. And I wonder how long that'll stay, but, I like it. And I thought it was a great update and it's about time. So
yeah, right.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's cool. It doesn't bother me that it snaps back to normal when you let go. I actually think I would prefer that. Than it's one having less motion. To like, yeah. It's just like one less movement to make and, yeah, I don't know. But the whole, I think it's just cool. And I was very excited about it the other day when it happened.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool deal. Let's move into our post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. So our weekly photo challenge went 2 weeks again, and reason being is we didn't have a show, so it gave people ample opportunity to create images. And this last 2 weeks it was high contrast. Note to the chat room, come up with another weekly photo challenge option. All right. You know, they're sitting in there, they need to do something while they're listening to this. So high contrast, what did you think of the high contrast photo challenge?
Harder than it sounds.
Yes.
Like, I submitted a couple pictures and I like struggled with it because, in order to make them truly high contrast, I just didn't like the pictures anymore.
You lose information.
Yeah. And I struggle with that. And, you know, me of all people, I mean, I shoot HDR like so much. So I'm all about, you know, detail from shadows to highlights. And then to literally be asked to go like to pretty much pure black in my shadows and to pretty much pure white in my highlights. Oh, it was so hard to do.
Yes. It is a struggle sometimes to leave out information, because the more information we have, the more we can see the story or understand what the photographer is doing. But also at the same time, it's contradictory. The less information that's there tells a story. And sometimes it takes away the distractions and will simplify things to tell a better story. So that's, you know, sometimes you have to think that way. You go, okay, if I do this, all this other information is going to go away. I have to be okay with that. And, you know, and next thing you know, you have, it's either black and white, or it's like another color, and you know, you're removing what the eye normally sees to be able to have something that is contrast. So this week it is my turn to choose, and I found an image that was truly high contrast, and it is one of those ones that has very little information, but there is something that has intrigued me, and it's almost like I want to know what the story is. And Marilyn Nolte had posted an image of It looks like three people on rocks standing looking at the ground as a seagull was closer flying overhead. And that image is intriguing to me because I want to know what they're looking at. And the information that's not there has grabbed me and said, what are they doing? And where are they at? And all that. So I thought it was a great image. What did you think, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of assume that they're at the beach, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't think I looked into it as hard as you did, but I do like the picture a lot. It's definitely high contrast. I like the seagull in there. You could tell that it's, or to me, it looks real. It doesn't look like, you know, like a bird added in with a filter or whatever. So I like that about it. Yeah, it's a great image.
Yeah, the light on the back of the feathers are sort of like a telltale sign that it wasn't. But she could fool us all and it could be added, but I like it. The color being mostly a green and yellow and then contrasted with black is really good. There were a lot of great images in there. I have to say, a majority of them were black and white, because when you have something black and something white, those are truly contrasts. And it's the contrast that caused the tension. And that tension is what grabs our eye. And a lot of times, the tension is what makes the image. You know, whereas if you have a lot of grays, lots of different shades of gray, it kind of mutes or is a little bit more calming. And so it doesn't really grab us as much as those high contrast images do. So, but I thought everybody did good. Yeah. So, all right, let's see what the chat room came up with for our next photo challenge. Congratulations, Marilyn. You did an awesome job. Images that we choose for our post pick of the week become our album art, our cover art for the Facebook page, and are a great way to showcase our listeners' work. And you kind of, you know, pat them on the back and say, great job, because you guys are awesome. So, all right. Oh, Dave said James Inglis was so close. Yeah. He had posted an image of, I couldn't tell what it was, but he had black, but he was missing the other part of the contrast. But good try, James. Good try. All right. So let's look to see what we have. High key. I think high key is very similar to what we just did. Mainly because, well, actually, no, high key would be different, because it's not, high key is typically not contrasted as much. No filter or adjustment, native camera. Matt also said three, so I guess it'd be three of something. Any ideas, Matt, on what you want to do?
I was thinking a theme of symmetrical.
Oh. Symmetry.
Symmetry.
Greg says clouds. I like that, symmetry. That's going to be a hard one.
Yes and no. I guess it just depends what you want to do. On if you want to find something that you can compose into, I guess what I would be looking for is actual symmetry. So not an image showing Oh, like how it's something's not symmetrical. I'd be looking for symmetry.
Okay.
So, you know, you could compose something to where it's, you know, perfect symmetry in the composition, or, I mean, I don't care. Use an app to mirror something.
Sure. All right. I'm all for that. I think we should do symmetry. Yeah, fake mirror apps. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Done. We're doing symmetry. All right. Very cool. Wow. I'm racing in my mind to figure out what I want to do. It's good that we have.
Well, I mean, I had the idea for the challenge. I don't have a clue what I'm going to do.
That's typical. That's usually what I do. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, man. I think we had a pretty full show, man. A lot of cool things going on. The next show, I believe we will be able to discuss what happened at Apple's announcement. So today is Thursday, September 1st. Apple is having their announcement Wednesday, September 7th.
Yep.
So our next show on the 8th, we should be able to talk at length about all the cool stuff that Apple announced on the 7th.
Yeah, there's a possibility. I talked to Mark today, and we may do it a day early and actually see if we can do the show on Wednesday if you want, Matt. So
That sounds insane.
Yeah. that means I have to be in a position to actually see what they announce. So I have to.
Yeah, same here.
You know, with work and everything. So we will keep you guys up to date on if we're going to do Wednesday or Thursday. Most likely you will find out the day of whether we're going to record. So stay tuned, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they announce and, you know, whether or not I want to upgrade or not will be probably decided to. I think Mark said something about he can't wait to see what the storage plans are for the iPhone. And I'm in that same boat. So, it'll be interesting.
Cool. Yeah, man.
All right, let's do this real quick.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, man, you can check me out on Instagram, IM, Twitter, and Flickr at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. You can find me, Joseph Ferreira, on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. And you can find the show notes, links to our Facebook page, to our Patreon, and other things by going to tinyshutter.com. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group, please, join us. You know, sometimes people get scared. I don't know what people think of my photos. You know, I'm not that into technology or photography or anything else. But you're just like us. You have an iPhone or an Android or whatever, and you're taking pictures and you want to fit into a community. Facebook is awesome, and I have to say, these group of people, even the ones in the chat room, and I'll do this.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.
And even the people in the chat room are, fun to be with, and you learn a lot. I am constantly amazed on how much stuff they know and are able to help us as we go along with the show. So join us on Facebook, and I will have links to everything that we talked about, the link to the app on the show notes page for this episode, and then be sure to look for the write-up that I'm going to do for my workflow on the website, and I will link that to the Facebook page too. So, all right. Anything else you wanted to bring up?
Not today.
Awesome. I think we had ourselves a show. Why don't you say goodnight to everybody, Matt?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
What's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.